Okay, good morning. Today, in this new room, we begin a new parak, a new chapter. A new chapter begins, chapter Yud Zayin, Perak Yud Zayin of the Gvuras Hashem. And as you recall, what we've been doing these days in the Gvuras Hashem has been a continued commentary that the Maharal is giving on the story of the Golus Mitzrayim and Geulas Mitzrayim, on the slavery and the redemption. And we just spent last week, a large part of our discussion last week was Perek Tzayin, and speaking about the circumstances surrounding the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu. Today we move on to a little bit more about that, more about the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu and the events following on the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu. And let's take a look. Vatera Isai Kitaiv. She gave birth to a son, and she saw Kitaivu. She saw that he was good. Vatispenehu Shloisha Yerachim. And she hid him for 3 months. What does it mean that she saw that the child was good? What does that mean? And obviously, it means something that motivated her especially. One would imagine anybody who had a baby, when there was a threat that the baby would have to be kolaben ayilayt hayayaret hashlichuhu, so you would want to try to save the baby. There's something, of course, which is even more driven in the desire to save this Moshe Rabbeinu, and how they would choose to save him. That's what's going to drive this parsha, and that's what's going to drive the circumstances. The pasuk is bringing out that from the beginning she saw that there was something special about him. What is that? What was that special quality that they saw? So the Maharal quotes a chazal, right? Rashi brings parts of this chazal. Rashi says kshenoylad nismale habayis kulay ayra, that when he was born, the house became completely filled, suffused with light. That's only one part of a much larger medrash, which brings a whole series of opinions about what was observable from the outset about Moshe Rabbeinu, in that he was good, that he was special. Tanya Rabbi Meir Eimer, Toiv Shemai. Rabbi Meir said his name was Toiv. Remember, the name Moshe was given to him 3 months later by Bas Parai. What did they call him from the beginning? I was going to say at his bris, but I caught myself, as you'll see in a minute. But what did they call him from the beginning? He was called Toiv. They saw that he was Toiv. You know, when the Gemara speaks about names, many times it says, this is its name. But why was it called that? Da 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 da. Right? It's a very interesting thing. You have to understand. So, and its name has nothing to do with what it is. I thought the name is because of what it is. But here, the pasuk is saying, Kipshutai, they saw that he was good. And the analysis, says the Gemara, is that they gave him the name Toiv. His name was Toiv. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, did anybody hear the name Toiv? Anybody hear the name Toiv? Tuvia. So he says, Rabbi Yehuda says, Tuvia Shmai. His name was Tuvia. Right? So some would say it's just a little correction. And nobody ever has called Toiv. Right? So what must it be? It was either Tubman, right? Or Tuvia, right? So they went for Tuvia. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, Tuvia Shmai. Rabbi Nechemia Eimer, Hogun Hula Nevuah. When they saw him, they saw that he was good. What does that mean? They saw that he was fit. He was primed for Nevuah, for prophecy. The Chachamim Eimrim, B'shah Shenaylat Nismal Likol Abayis Aira. When he was born, the house became filled with light. What Rashi quoted. Where does that come from? K'siva Chavat Eretz HaKitayv. K'siva Sonayar Elikim Asar Kitayv. Here it says they saw that he was good. And in Bereshis, the first appearance of the word good, Toiv, in the Torah is they saw the light and it was good. Okay, so that's a whole series of opinions that we have here. The truth is that it's not the end of the Braisa. For some reason, oh, I'm sorry, I skipped the line, that's why. Achei Maimrim, others say, Neilat Hu Kishehu Mohol. He was born circumcised. He was born as if he had a mila already. He was born without an arla, and that's the key type. That was what was noticeable about him in his birth. Okay, so the first opinion says they saw that he was Taiv, they named him Taiv. The second opinion says better than Taiv, Taiv Ya. The third opinion describes something observable, so to speak. They saw that he was somehow fit for Nevuah. The fourth opinion says it was observable, they saw that he was already born with a Mila. And the fifth opinion says that the house became filled with light. So this is a maral, this is a chazal, excuse me, where the maral, you can just see him rubbing his hands together in glee and saying, okay, what are these five madregas? What are these five different opinions that we have here? And the maral goes to it, and he goes to it concisely. Perek Yud Zayin. Pirush. L'das Rabbi Meir Taiv Shemai. Boloimar. Coming to say, I'm going to read to you what he says, and I'm going to explain to you what he says. Ki Maisha beis lidatai, taldasai hayatai. Maisha at the time that he was born was good. Zen nemaral shohaya metzius taiv gomor. Like Maishar nivroyam she'ein malasam hatayv hagomor. He was completely good, not like other creatures, that they're not Toiv HaGomor. They're not completely good. What does this mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a human being, as we know, with Bechira, with free choice. He created a person with free choice, and we've learned together many times that in the original condition of man, that was like sort of a little bit external to him. In other words, man himself was good. He was, Adam HaRishon is described as being, something beyond the regular human being. The divine component within him, the neshama within him, was dominant, was absolutely strong. And there was nothing inside of him that pulled him to do bad. In order for Adam HaRishon to sin, he needed something that we don't need. What did he need? He needed a snake. He needed some portrayal of some force outside of himself luring him to do bad. Now, of course, the snake had something to grab onto. He was able to grab onto the physical component which was there within man and be ma'ayrer it and awaken it to become a force within man. And that physical component within man is the ra. Ra, when we say ra, we say evil, right? Ra is evil, it's good, table-pounding preacher word, evil, right? But it's not. Ra is more the mundane, something which has nothing lofty about it, right? For these purposes, you would call a nice pony, right? That just, that they take around for pony rides, ra. The pony's not evil. It's not going to steal from anybody. It's not going to kill anybody. It's not even going to buck, a nice little child off of its back. Right? But what is it? It's a horse. That's what it is. Ra is that. There was, Adam HaRishon had a physical component. However, that physical, and if you would, sort of speak, latch in or bite, the snake would somehow enlarge that physical component so that suddenly would be a baldover, suddenly would be a part of the personality of man. That's what he tried to do. But before he did that, the physicality of man was just a tool, was just completely, completely dominated, overtaken by the ruchnius, by the spirituality within man. And therefore Adam was completely, completely taif. Adam was completely taiv. So as a result of Adam HaRishon being completely taiv, the snake had to come at him from the outside. Maybe, there's an aspect that he had to go to Chava before he went to Adam, then Chava comes to Adam, whatever the details of that process. But when he ate from the Eitz Hadas, then suddenly something else developed. And now he became a Bart Ben Tamusa, a mortal, because his physicality became something. And as many explain, and it comes out here to some degree in the language of the Maral, although it may not be the Maral's exact explanation there, but the idea of Eitz Hadas, Toivara, what does it mean? The tree of knowledge of good and evil. So many understand, and this is in more, a little bit usually in the more mystical dense form, Chassidus Shesvarim, is that it is the das of Taivara, meaning the mixing together, the blending together of Taivara. Das is like Vayeda Adam as Chava Ishtai, Adam knew Chava his wife, connection. Das is a certain knowledge of connection. That's what we use that term for. So Das Taivara is good and evil became intertwined. There became a mixture of, a significant mixture of Taivara. That's what confuses life. That's what makes things complicated. Instead of it being, we use the Ramban's terminology, the Rambam's terminology, before the sin, there was emes and there was sheker, there was truth and falsehood. Your biases didn't figure in. When your biases start to figure in, so then everything becomes a shade of gray. Right? Sometimes it's darker, sometimes it's lighter. But look, you know, even stealing is sometimes justified. Right, and so on, and sometimes giving is wrong. You know, it becomes a big world of moral relativism, and who knows what else. That's what happened. Moshe Rabbeinu was a throwback to Adam HaRishon Kaidem Achet. Every interpretation which we're going to see here in Vatereseh Ki Toivu should be seen in that light. Toiv is the opposite of Toivara. It's not that just that Toiv is the opposite of Ra. For our purposes, Toiv is the opposite of Taivara.
If you can take a message,
unless it's urgent. Toiv is not just the opposite of Ra. Moshe Rabbeinu was Toiv, he wasn't Ra. Moshe Rabbeinu was Toiv, he wasn't Taivara. He wasn't some kind of a mixture of good and bad. And that was the first part. Moshe Rabbeinu's internal dynamic was not containing and including the same kind of an internal struggle that is normal for a human being. That's Vatera Isai Kitayev Hu. He was driven by the positive things. Okay, we're going to Hashem here as we're going to progress through the Pshatim, we'll be able to amplify that a little bit. But for starters, just think about Moshe Rabbeinu internally. Internally, a person is driven by higher motives from the neshama that's within him, by lower base motives from the body which he has. It didn't necessarily have to be that he's driven by both. The bodily needs don't necessarily have to drive a person, they just may be realities that have to be satisfied, that have to be addressed. Not a drive, not a yetzer, right? A yetzer is a force, it's a drive. Remember, say a yetzer is not an inclination. Inclination implies something sort of like sliding. A yetzer is zhum, right? A yetzer is something which drives. He's not driven by physicality, he's got to deal with his physicality. He's got to deal with it. That was the world, so to speak, of Moshe Rabbeinu, where Toiv was the only driver. Internally reconciled that way. That's Pirush L'das Rabbi Meir. L'das Rabbi Yehuda, Toivya Shemai. It's not enough to call him Toiv. You have to call him Toivya. Explains the Maral, Pirush. Shayadavik b'maisha Toiv, shuinin eleki. L'kach nikra Tuvya, Pirush mischaber shem ka, b'toiv shal maisha ad shenirka b'shem Toivya. V'davar ze mashohe meshuta v'shmai shem ka, sha Toiv shalai inyan eleki. Says the Maral, Toivya is incorporating the Shem Hashem of Ka together with the Toiv. It's not just a, so to speak, a secular Toiv, that he was motivated by great higher ideals and higher goals. But in that, implicit in that, was as well a connection to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. You could tell them 15 minutes tops. Okay? Tops. And I'll speak less if they need less. Sorry. Funeral home wants to know how long I'm going to speak at the funeral. Okay, what? It's much more scary at a funeral home. We have a box for you. Okay, so where were we? So Nachamal. So the Taiv could have been seen as just a general goodness, as again driven by higher, selfless instead of selfish, instead of self-indulgent. That could have been the vision of Moshe Rabbeinu. However, no. Remember what we said with Maishra, with Adam Arishain, there was an internal transformation. So let's look at this again. It's the two elements exist by Adam Arishain as well. Adam Arishain, as we said, there was a change in his internal dynamic from being a creature of Emes, Pael Emes Shepulasei Emes, a person driven by truth, a person driven by the higher, non-self-driven motives, to one who has a combination of drives between the two sides. So he was from Toiv to Toiv Hara. But what else happened with Adam HaRishon? Remember, what's the first thing that we know? I shouldn't say the first thing. The first thing we know is they realized that they were unclothed and they covered themselves. So that is, of course, we could say that's the first thing. That's the Toiv Hara. There, their sexuality, they became aware of, because there's an element of Ra, of the mundane, of just the self-driven in that, that became very strong. But what happens immediately after that? Immediately after that, they hear Hashem coming. And what do? They dive for cover. They're afraid to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the idea is because that Ra creates a mechitza, that Ra creates a barrier, creates a distance. The Toiv comes from the neshama that's inside the person. And the more we strengthen the soul, the more the soul is dominant, the more the unfettered connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's the way it works. So therefore, says the Pasuk, when Adam HaRishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, so of course the defiance made him separate from Hashem. Of course, so to speak, the nakedness made him separate from Hashem. But what really fundamentally made him separate from Hashem was that he wasn't the pure, completely dedicated to the selfless, to that which was above he himself, that he had been before. And therefore, he didn't have the divine connection. Moshe Rabbeinu, the fact that he restored Toiv, also restored to him not just an internal clarity, but a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, now this is a chash of a nakuda. It's a significant point. I say this because sometimes in our world of avoda, in our world of working on ourselves, we sometimes can focus on one of these points and not on the other. Sometimes we are self-improvement fanatics. We want to make ourselves better. We want to make ourselves stronger. So we go and we work on our decision making. If we have a vulnerability, we're making a choice to indulge in something which is not for our benefit, which isn't for a good thing. So we say, it's not for our benefit. It's unhealthy for us to eat it. It's substance abuse. Whatever it is, it's something that's not good. So as a wise person, we want to be better. We want to be stronger. So we make the internal decision. Remember what we learned in the beginning of the Maral and the Siva Tshuva, right? First element of Tshuva was mind over matter. Don't just let your body decide what you're supposed to do. Ata chaynein ladam das, and then ashivenu avinu sarasach. I'm going to let my mind decide instead of let desire drive me. And that becomes a portion of the avoda of the person, becomes an aspect of the avoda of the person. So to improve yourself, that's the first Rabbi Meir. That's Toiv. That's trying to make yourself internally better. But the person may not turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It may be just a matter of internal self development, like Shmona Esrei can be. As some, I believe, and the great ones should be Michael me, but as some would reduce davening to a certain form of reflective, right, hispalel, self-evaluation, making ourselves better. But davening isn't just making yourself better. Davening is also standing in front of Hashem and speaking to Him in the first person, second person, directly, Baruch Atah Hashem. So davening is more than just an internal process. You have to also turn to Hashem. When the Jewish people in Sefer Dvorim are described after going through difficulty, we say, "Oy," and we look and we say, because Hashem isn't in our midst, we had all these difficulties, so we're reflective and we realize what we did wrong, and then it says, and more difficulty will befall you. So what do the Rishonim say? Okay, you did a good self-examination, but you didn't yet turn to Hashem. In fact, you maybe even said the opposite. You said Hashem isn't around, and you didn't even bother turning to Hashem. To be good internally is one step, and to connect to Hashem is the other step. So sometimes we focus on the internal work, and we don't focus on the connection to Hashem. Sometimes we'll come to Rosh Hashanah, and we'll say, I'm ready to daven, right? Slichas, I'm pumped, I'm going to create this connection to Hashem, Yisbarach. But we didn't do the kitayv work. We don't do enough of the internal work to change the internal balance within ourselves. There's tayv, and there's tayvya. That's Rabbi Meir, the first opinion, tayv. Rav Yehuda, responded and upped the ante and said, there's tayvya.
That's why he had a hamahira, because he had this pure direct line connection.
Correct. Absolutely. And we'll, and yes, that's a part of it, and that's the next thing which we come to.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyah Bidvareinu. So he was born with leg up?
Yes. Uladas, from Nechemia Sefer. Ki hagun ula nevua. He was suited for nevuah, for prophecy. What does that mean? Mali yaser gedayla min arishayna. That's even beyond what we said. Vizek asher hogun hu lenevuah, hashchina atzmai olav. The presence of Hashem is mamish upon him. Vizeu yaser min amayla arishayna, ma sheyesh b'meyinin al kishit ishi ishi adavek b'maisha. He says, tuvya is that there's a divine element in Moshe Rabbeinu. And maybe even to express it more faithfully to the Maharal, the idea would be, that he's allowed the divine soul within him to shine. But now Nevuah speaks about a much more intense relationship, explicit relationship to Hashem. That's what Nevuah is. Nevuah is when you have communication, open communication with Hashem Yisbarach. And right, it's one thing for a person to quote unquote feel a relationship to Hashem, which of our common parlance, we do it. But there's another thing when actually it's not your sixth sense, but it's your five senses, right? Your gashmius relates to Hashem, right? That Chazal, which was cited in one of the by one of the Darshanim at the Siyam, by Rabbi Chacham Yaakov Hillel, of Rayim es Hanishma. Of seeing the kinds of things they usually only hear about, which was at Har Sinai. I remember I learned with you once the Meshech Chachma, who says beautifully that when Adam Arishain ate from the Eitz Hadas, that transition that we talked about, then it says, and they heard the sound of Hashem coming through the garden. And the Meshech Chachma says, they now saw their physicality. They didn't see their nakedness before. Now they saw their physicality. And they heard Hashem, which was as opposed to before, where their physicality was more like heard from a distance, and what they saw was Hashem Yisbarach. The Navi has it in the deepest sense. So it's not just an association with Hashem, a quote-unquote spirituality beyond an internal resolution, but Hogun Hu Nevuah, he's suitable for Nevuah. And as was said, as Michael said a moment ago, on whom can it be said Hogun Hu Lenevuah more than Moshe Rabbeinu? One of the ikorim, one of the fundamentals of our faith is, and the last words of the Torah state, that there will never be a prophet like Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu is not only suited for prophecy, but he is the ultimate prophet, that any other prophet can only be weakly compared to relative to Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? Well, one of the characteristics of Moshe Rabbeinu is that he saw Baspa Klaria Hameira with absolute clarity. Right? Standing up, he was able to, as a human being functioning, he was able to encounter Hashem. Why? Because there was no Iruv of Taiva Ra in Moshe Rabbeinu. That's, you look in the Rishayim, you look in the Rambam, Yesodei HaTorah, you look in the Ramban, you look in the Ramchal, in the Derech Hashem, and Chela Gimel. What Moshe Rabbeinu had, the clarity of Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy, different than other Nevi'im, because other Nevi'im, they were still human beings. They were still an Iruv of Taiva Ra. So it's true. They were better than the rest of us, and they were able to have some kind of a vision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But to some degree, their Ra had to be put to bed. They had to fall asleep. They had to be knocked unconscious. They had to go into some kind of a fit, because with their consciousness, forget about it. So they had to be knocked out and have their elevated part, subconscious, be able to, you know, to connect them, to relate to Hashem Yisbarach. That was one, you know, that's one thing. But Moshe Rabbeinu, Omed al Raglav, standing on his feet, punim b'funim, face to face, consciously looking at Hashem. Other Nevi'im, they were misnabe, they prophesied with Koyam HaHashem. Hashem said something like this, because the words that came out of the Navi's mouth were the Navi's words, was the Navi's style of expression, his method of expression. Whereas Moshe Rabbeinu, it was Shechina medaberes mitei grayne. It was like HaKadosh Baruch Hu being a ventriloquist, HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking through the throat of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was completely transparent, in the sense that he didn't distort, he didn't absorb and then give it back. He was onav, he was humble, meaning he had no self, and if he had no self, so he wasn't self-indulgent. Moshe Rabbeinu was taif, and therefore he was the perfect conduit for nevuah, next level. Okay, so it's not just a relationship with Hashem, but almost his mouthpiece. That's the next opinion. Acherim Aimrim, and others say, Shenoilad Mohu, that he was born circumcised. Now, first of all, a little note, which the Maral doesn't mention here, but the Gemara says, Adam Harishon Moshuch Ba'arlasai Hava. What does that mean? Adam Harishon pulled his Arla, his foreskin, back over to cover his Aver, his Mila. In other words, he tried to do a reversal of circumcision. Adam Harishon never had a formal circumcision. Adam Harishon was also created Mohel. He was also created in the Mohel state. However, he quote-unquote reversed it. That's what Chazal say. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that he went and he actually tried to have a reconstructive surgery of some kind? We don't have to say that. It may be. But the ikar of it is that whereas Adam HaRishon was created perfect, what did he do then? He says, you know what? I want to have this. I want to make my life more complicated, so that I need work. Elohim asas Adam yasher. Hashem made man straight, perfect. Vehima bikshu chashbainas rabim, and they sought complications. They made their lives more complicated. That was what Adam HaRishon did with his avera. Chazal described that as he pulled his arla, and it was in the realm of sexuality, of course, that the consequences of Adam HaRishon's distortion were first seen. He realized that he was naked. That certainly is part of what Chazal are expressing in that. Yoter mizeh, where we understand that the whole notion of Bris Milah, as we know in that famous conversation between Rabbi Akiva and the Roman, who said, Tornus Rufus said, why does the Rabbanu Shalom, if the Rabbanu Shalom wanted you guys to be Mehulim, why didn't he make you that way? And Rabbi Akiva said, well, no, tell me something. Did you have some wheat for breakfast this morning? And the Roman said, you mean Wheaties? He says, no, I didn't mean Wheaties. I meant, did you have some wheat this morning for breakfast? And he said, no, what are you talking about? I had bagels. He says, what are you talking about? What did you have to do to have bagels? I had to take the wheat, and I had to harvest it, and I had to winnow it and sift it and grind it and knead it and bake it into bread. He says, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and now you have to perfect it. So it's the same thing. We have to perfect ourselves. We have to develop ourselves. Right? Very chashuv, a very important notion. We are works in progress. We're not born perfect. I can only speak for myself. Looking around the room, I see several people who probably defy that categorization. But nevertheless, so yeah, that was a problem that Adam did. You were, but now you're not. So as much as that's a significant notion, we also have to take a stab and say, but one second, Adam was made perfect. Well, yes, he had bechira, he had free choice, which of course he bungled, and you know that's for the rest of time. But in a certain sense, his choice was, can I lock in the status quo? It wasn't, you know, like the person who has to develop a skill and a talent and an inspiration and so on and so forth. Here, he had it, and the question was whether he would forsake it, whether he would keep it. But he made him this way. So Adam HaRishon turned it back, made himself a work that needed, something that needed work in order to be able to progress and to perfect. Moshe Rabbeinu, like Adam HaRishon, was created perfect. If a baby is born and you can look at him and you say, Taiv, that means he doesn't have the struggles of Taiv Hara that the rest of us. It means he's ready for Nevuah, the best Nevuah. He's just created tilted. Moshe Rabbeinu was a phenomenon. He was born differently. This is the perspective of Chazal. B'terem etzarcha bebeten yedaticha. Like it says by Yirmiyo HaNavi, before you were even conceived, I knew you, I designated you. Remember what we said last time when we learned the Maral, not last week, because it was Tisha B'Av 2 weeks ago. The Pasuk doesn't give names, because the phenomenon of Moshe Rabbeinu transcended a specific father and mother, a specific family tree path. Moshe Rabbeinu came from the heavens. Moshe Rabbeinu came from the outside. He didn't just grow up organically within the Jewish people. And it's because he was a phenomenon. He was something that was sent. Something that was sent from the Rabbeinu Shalom for us when we needed it. And you could ask, Bechira, and so on and so forth. It's clear that Moshe Rabbeinu was also given Bechira opportunities and so on and so forth. He resisted HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he chose. Right, the whole story which we'll learn about later, about Moshe Rabbeinu giving him the mission, and Moshe Rabbeinu stubbornly resisting the mission for a period of time. It's a complicated story, difficult story. It's not like Moshe Rabbeinu, but there's something called something said in Hashemayim. And we see that. And we see that lahavdil, but also significantly. You know, everyone says, so many places, etc., the Goyin of Vilna. The Goyin of Vilna was, they called him the Goyin. Nowadays we're used to Harava Goyin. You know, so somebody once said, the Goyinim was the period after the Gemara, before the Rishonim, before Rashi. Those were the Goyinim, Rav Sadia Goyin, Rav Hai Goyin. It's a period known as the Goyinim. So somebody told me he was once standing next to a sharp and wise rabbi at a chuppah, and they kept calling everybody up as Harav HaGoyin. So he says, you know what a Goyin is? A Goyin is someone who never saw a Rashi. did anybody before Rashi? Yeah. But we bandy about these terms, but of course we don't call someone really the Vilna Goyen. It was called the Vilna Goyen. The Vilna Goyen was like a phenomenon. He was like from another generation. So this is the way it's seen, and it should be seen. It's appropriate to see it. Chal Yisrael, the Goyen was there at the threshold of Haskalah. Revolutions had to take place in the Jewish people, the world of yeshivas, the world of a certain kind of learning, and so on and so forth, which would ultimately have to be there to save the Jewish people from it. Kadosh Baruch Hu had to send a malach that would somehow be different than the rest in order to be able to help us through. And that's the way it happens at different points, different junctures in history. So don't ask me Bechira questions, it's not fair, Moshe Rabbeinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a world that has to reach a certain conclusion. And as we learn in the Ramchal, there's of course always a hanhaga of Bechira and so on. There's also a hanhaga of above Bechira, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to move things towards its Hagat HaYichud, where it has to be moved toward its ultimate goal. And Moshe Rabbeinu, to some degree, comes into that.
I was in that Makako in 80 years, particularly growing up in such a place as Shtita Zuma, the Paro's house.
Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu.
So he's greater than
other Rishon
in that sense.
Moshe Rabbeinu. It's he grew up in Paro's house. He grew up with Basya. In a certain sense, yes, he's taken into a world where everything around him is very different than that. We often explain that Moshe Rabbeinu, at least certainly when he was reaching his ultimate level of being the Navi Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu had to separate from his wife. Adam Arishon, Hashem said, "You need to have a wife. You need to have a wife." So what's going on? But the thing was that Moshe Rabbeinu lived in a world which was not Moshe Rabbeinu's world. It was so much about his environment was hostile to who Moshe Rabbeinu was different than what Moshe Rabbeinu was. So in that sense, that there's a that goes beyond Adam Arishon.
It's also Adam Arishon was didn't have a childhood, right? I mean,
right.
Kids, it's like they don't have a Yetzer Tov. Really till Bar Mitzvah, but most we're talking about, he didn't really have
Yetzer Ra. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have a childhood in that sense either. He was born Tov. He was born with the Yetzer Tov. He had a leg up on the competition. That's why he was born with advantages. You know, there's a famous controversy about a commentary which was made by the Tiferes Yisrael at the end of Maseches Kiddushin, in his Tiferes Yisrael wrote a pirush on the Mishnah. The end of the Tiferes Yisrael on the Mishnayos, he writes a legend about Moshe Rabbeinu, that there were physiognomists, people who were able to study Chachmas HaPartzuf, they were able to study the face of a person and be able to read their personality based on that. And there were the Jewish people in the desert, you know, they weren't completely isolated. The Gemara says that they would buy things from peddlers who came by. So this king of a neighboring country, they heard about the Jewish people, so he sent his physiognomist to go and to draw Moshe Rabbeinu and to analyze Moshe Rabbeinu. And he came back and they said that Moshe Rabbeinu is a very, very angry, violent person.
Also,
and they brought this report to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Emes, it's true. That's what I was, but I worked on myself." That's a legend. I'm paraphrasing it. That legend, so parenthetically, there was a Rabbi Yehuda Leib Akayan Maimon Fishman, was a great religious Zionist rabbi, and he despised this legend so much that in Eretz Yisrael, when they reprinted the Mishnah for Eretz Yisrael, he censored it. He took it out. Blanked out that part of the commentary, and one can ask all kinds of questions about that chazal, that legend, but one of the most basic things is that everything we're learning here about chazal say differently than that, and it's the pasuk that Teirai Saiki Taifu. She saw that he was good. Right, according to Moshe Rabbeinu's description in the legend, she saw that he was colicky. Right, she saw that he was miserable. What does it mean by teresa kitayvu? Right, so Chazal, they deepen it. Moshe Rabbeinu was not born with the great difficulty that he worked on himself to overcome. You could say that about others. Right, the Chafetz Chaim said that about himself, but not about Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, but the Maharal goes a step further in explaining this, and he says, Madrega Zeis Mashayonel Ed Mol, this level that he was born circumcised, Humala She'enel Tachtoinim, this is not something for a being from down here. Ki Kol Tachtoinim Avshem Shleimim Yeshlem Tziruf El Ara. Even good, perfect, so to speak, tachtainim, things down here, have some connection to bad. They're not completely separated from it. But the upper ones are completely removed from ra, and they are shleimim, they are perfect. So that's the idea. So we know, again, we have this association of the orla with bad. We have the association with having an orla, meaning that he has to be a work in progress. But more than that, as he explains here, the idea is that it's shamaimi, it's heavenly. And I've shared with you before something which Rav Moshe Shapira says very often, which is that the word eretz, earth, has as its root rutz. Rutz means to run. When you're running, it means, unless you're just running around in circles for exercise, usually when you're running, it's because you're trying to get someplace, because you're not where you need to be. Shamayim has as its root shum. Shum means there. To use our vernacular, you're there. You're there. You've made it. You're where you need to be. Shamayim, heaven, is shlemus. Oretz, earth, is not perfection. Earth, you're not there yet. Earth, by definition, you're a work in progress. You have to grow. Says the Maral, that's Vatera Sekitaivu. They saw that he was good. They saw that he was shalom. They saw that in that sense, he was heavenly. And the last opinion, the most famous one, the one quoted by Rashi, when he was born, the house became filled, suffused with light. That's yet a further advantage. Says the Maral, again, we'll read a little bit. Shlemus, perfection, can exist in physical things, even if they're not completely sublime. But Moshe she'nivdal legamrei min hagashmius ad shehayo le'mayla nivdalas legamrei. Moshe was completely separate from physicality until he had a mayla nivdalas legamrei, till he was completely sublime. She'kshenayla dismalei abayas ayra, ba'ayr meir al davar nivdal min hageshem. Light indicates something removed from physicality. Chayshech, darkness, is a term, a euphemism for physicality. Ayr is a euphemism. Light is a euphemism for the ruach, for spirituality. Zeyadua ki ein ba'er davar gashmi murgash. V'ikach nich Hashem Yisrach Hashem Or. That's why Hashem is called Oyer. Oyeri ve'yishi ki ba'er panecha. Each one is a further level according to what we've described. So let me just explain this thing of Tov, and with that we will. It's going to take a few minutes, but that'll be our last step here in our discussion in this parak for today. The first thing Hashem created seems to be Shamayim V'aretz. We're going to be Chayzer, we're going to review something which we've definitely discussed a couple of times. I don't remember how recently. But it's yesodistic, it's foundational. Bereishis Bara Elokim Es Hashamayim Es Haaretz. In the beginning, Hashem created the heavens and the earth. V'aretz Hayis Hatayu V'Avayu V'Chayshach Al Panei Hamayim. The earth was a mess. The earth was unformed matter. It doesn't say anything like that about the Shamayim. Shamayim, it's not the Shamayim of the second day of creation where Hashem separated between the earth and the heavens. It's Shmei Shamayim, it's a higher Shamayim. The Shamayim never describe Hashem doing another thing with it. Shamayim, like we said before, was created perfect. The thing we call Shamayim, the sky that we looked at, so that's part of the physical world that has to be developed. But the earth was a mess. The earth was essentially, as the Rishonim translate, Tayu Vavayu V'chayshach Al Panei Sahayim, one way or the other, was Chaymer Belitzura. It was just physical matter. So much so that it doesn't describe Hashem creating it. It doesn't say, and Hashem said, let there be an earth. But rather we understand, and we're taught in Kabbalah 101, that the way Hashem created the Oretz was actually by withdrawing himself, what's called Tzimtzum, in order to allow something other than Hashem to exist. The whole physicality is the otherness. Yesh me'ayin. Ein ayin milvade. There's supposed to be nothing other than the Spirit, nothing other than Hashem. To create something other than Hashem, so to speak. That was the act of creation. Says the pasuk, so Hashem, there's this world, and it's a funk, and it's just physicality. And now it's time for Hashem to put his tzura, to put his imprint in the world. So what does he do? Vayomer Elokim yihi oyer, let there be light. And this light that Hashem created was the first act, the first statement Hashem said, let there be. It was Hashem first placing his imprint upon the world. So you'd say, so that's the most pitiful, you know, just the beginning, you know. Okay, we got to get to work. First thing we got to do is somebody turn the lights on. We haven't even gotten to work yet. But Chazal didn't understand it that way. What is it saying? Hashem saw the aur was toiv, it was good. And so Hashem separated between the light and the darkness. What does that mean? So Chazal saw this as the, what's called in Kabbalah 102, the aur hagonos, the light that is hidden, the hidden light. The light which HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw as such a perfect revelation of Hashem in the world that the world couldn't have it right away, up front. The world of Sheshes and Bereshes, the world of bad and good, of heaven and earth, of struggle, not the world of Gan Eden, it had to be put away for another time. The Ar was Nignaz, L'tzadikim, L'asid Lovei, for the righteous, for the world to come. So the light is something more. You know, in the Medrash, it notes that in the first day of creation, it says the word Ar how many times? Five times. Vayar melekim yihi or, vayihi or, vayar elekim es ha'or ki toiv, vayavdeh elekim ben ha'or, vayikra elekim la'or yoyim, v'achayshach kar alayla. Right? So five times it says or. Keneged, corresponding to, v'chamisha chumshay tayra. Because ayra zu tayra, ki ner mitzvah v'tayra or. Well, tayra is the distilled light of HaKadosh Baruch in the world. So with Moshe Rabbeinu, he filled the room with light. Pnei Moshe, Chazal tell us that the elders of the generation that saw Moshe and saw Yeshua said Moshe Rabbeinu's face was like the sun. When Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai and was now Moshe Rabbeinu on... Okay, I'm not going to say it. It's actually not during the Olympics. But it was Moshe Rabbeinu in his full strength. They couldn't even approach him. They couldn't look at him. You couldn't look at Moshe Rabbeinu like a person can't stare at the sun. Ayer, you have to put the mask on. You have to somehow cover it. Ayer, because that presence of Hashem expresses itself that way. And it expresses itself in the person. We go back to Adam HaRishon, before the sin, which is what we've seen. That's the Toiv, that's Moshe Rabbeinu. Toiv without Ra. Chazal say, Moshe Rabbeinu, his face, which is the most spiritual, you know, everything part of the person. So that's shown. Adam HaRishon, the heel of his foot, the farthest away from the head, the toughest, ugliest flesh on the skin of a person, right? It's white and hard, and you know, whatever it is. That, especially when you walk barefoot, like they did, right? It would make the sun look pale in comparison. That's what Chazal say about Adam HaRishon. Ikvay shel Adam HaRishon mache pnei chama, would make the sun look like a 20-watt chandelier bulb. Because Ayur is the presence of Hashem, and the presence of Hashem could be in a person. And that's what they saw in Moshe Rabbeinu. So these are five versions, five levels of the shlemus and the godliness and the active connection to Hashem and the perfection that was Moshe Rabbeinu from the beginning.
Why did Kadosh Baruch Hu have to take away the light and the goodness of the tzaddikim if there was no ra in the world? It was just basically the tzimtzum that was...
It's too much for right now to discuss, but the description of the beginning of Bria is not Gan Eden. The description of the beginning of Bria is a world where there's the mixture of Ra v'Tov, and that Oyer would be so overwhelming that it wouldn't leave any room for Ra. That Oyer wouldn't leave any room for Ra. If there would be Ra, then they couldn't have that R. It wasn't Roy for the Rishoyim to use it. That's the way Chazal say it. But the idea is, because with that R can exist no evil. With that R can exist no evil. Because that was the way the world had to be balanced. Chira, etc.
The external.
Yeah.
Rashi said that the deal was separating the R itself. So some of the R remained in this world, and some of it was put away. rather than separated between the Or and the Choshech, meaning all of that kind of Or was put away?
Rashi says, Gonzei l'tzadikim l'asad lo, he put it away. We understand that there are still smidgens of that Or that exist. We understand that there's still smidgens of that Or that exist, but the full power of the Or was put away. I don't think Rashi says he put away some of it. I think Rashi just says Gonzei, just that he put away, as far as I remember the Rashi.
So that's the light that was in Moshe's face.
That's the light of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what we speak about when we speak about Barchenu Avinu Kulanu Keechad Bar Panecha. Ki Bar Panecha Nasat Alanu Hashem Alekenu Teras Chayim V'Avas Chesed. Bless us with the light of your face, the radiance of your face, because by the light of your face you have given us everything good, every good positive value. Right, there's two ways to translate bless us with the light of your face. One is, Hashem, take off your mask so that the radiance of your face we will be able to bask in. And the other way to translate it is, give us some of the light of your face, that our faces shine like the face of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the, we want to have the oil, we want to have the tie within ourselves, like Moshe Rabbeinu had it within himself.
His face is shining.
Correct. Because I always tell a story, I think I even just said it like last week in a different shir, I think you were at, that I once on one of our Israel trips, so I went to Shabbos. We were staying in some city up north, and it was the winter. And we wanted to run back to say goodbye to the Kaisel before going to the airport. Completely crazy thing to do when you look at the map, but Baruch Hashem was fun and was meaningful, and we ran back to the Kaisel. And on the way back, I was able to somehow arrange that we could stop in to see Rav Nevin Sal, the Rav of the Old City. He was a tzaddik. But nobody really knew it was flying, so suddenly everybody run here, run there, and running. And we ran up to his apartment, and we came in, we walked in, he had like a corridor, and he was like standing in the little kitchen on the side. And we walked into his dining room, and then he sat with us for a little while. And when we left, so one of the chevras said to me, he said, I want to tell you something. He says, I had no idea what we were doing, where we were going, who we were going to see. So when I walked into the apartment and I saw that man standing there in the kitchen, I knew that he was a tzaddik. Just Hashem blessed him with the light of his face. So that's the bechina. That's the bechina of Moshe Rabbeinu that we talk about here. Okay. 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 Have a good morning. Good luck. Next Sunday, there will not be a Maral Shir.